Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Friends, recently at the Christmas Fair Community Carols at Pecos Public School, I told of a recent visit to my chiropractor. And what happens with my chiropractor, the massage therapist works on your muscles first, and then the chiropractor gets to work and makes the adjustments. And the massage therapist told me that he is a keen Christmas lights type of person. He said, "I put Christmas lights everywhere. I have nativity scenes, I have lights. I decorate beautifully, but I also like to put up a huge cross at Christmas on top of my lights." And he said, "I have a question for you." He says, "Because I'm conflicted," he said, "because some people love the fact that I put up a cross with a nativity scene, and other people hate it, and they get angry at me. You're a pastor. Can I put up a cross with my nativity scene?" he said. I'm sore at this stage as he's working on my muscles. And I'm saying, "Mate, it's a free world, do what you like." But then I said, "But in fact, what you do makes sense. Because the purpose of Jesus being born was to go from the cradle to the cross to deal with our sins and our failures. Christ was born for a mission, to die in our place, to be our Saviour. In fact, Joseph was told by the angel to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So I told this story at Carol's. The next day, on social media comes this story, straight out of the United States, where the cross was causing havoc at Christmas. In Knightstown, Indiana, the star on top of the Christmas tree had fallen off and someone had cheekily put up a cross instead. But then, the American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana filed a lawsuit on behalf of a resident, Joseph Tompkins, who claims the cross on the top of the town Christmas tree has caused him irreparable harm, only in America. It argues that the religious symbol is a violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Mr. Tompkins said that he is forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact with the cross as he drives through town, that beautiful cross up there. And the lawsuit was seeking for the removal of the cross, monetary damages, and a declaration that the cross violates the First Amendment. 2,200 residents in this town, and the council said, "We have no other choice but to take down the cross because we're fearful of the lawsuit and what it might cost our town." So how did the locals respond to this? Well, there was mayhem in Knightstown, Indiana this Christmas. They started putting their own lighted crosses on their properties. They placed them in their yards and in their storefronts. Some mounted them on their cars as they drove around Indiana. There were crosses everywhere this Christmas. There were pro-cross vigils and protests in the town. And they handed out small wooden crosses to every passerby. The cross is central to Knightstown, Indiana this Christmas. And with those two thoughts in mind, I heard from Tim Shavura, who was playing the drums, said Annie has found a lovely song for this Christmas. It's not just about the manger, it's about the cross. It's not about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels. Yes, it is about those things who sing for him a day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away on Resurrection Sunday so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's a great message for Christmas, isn't it? That the Jesus who was born went from the cradle to the cross for our forgiveness. Who is this Jesus? Jesus, we are told, is Emmanuel, God with us. The virgin, in a miracle of God, will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God the Son in human flesh. Don't miss that truth. God entered our world. God entered our experience. He became one of us. Friends, in December 1903, you may remember that year, some of you, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine, they're developing an aeroplane, off the ground. They've worked hard at this. Thrilled, they telegraphed their message to their sister Catherine. This is the message. We have actually flown 120 feet. We will be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. Such excitement. The first people ever to fly. He glanced at the telegram. How nice, he said. The boys will be home for Christmas. No, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is they have flown. They've taken off the ground 120 feet for the first time ever. Friends, people miss the big story of Christmas too. That this baby, this child, is God in human flesh. Born to be our Saviour. And the humble entry of Jesus into our world speaks of God's love for us and of his humility. The creator of the universe becomes, in his Son, part of that creation. It's almost too much to believe. In fact, the Muslims call it blasphemy that God would take upon himself human flesh. Born in a little town called Bethlehem, no fancy hospitals, no trendy home births. Not even room in the Bethlehem Hotel. Born in a barn, and instead of being laid in a beautiful cot all prepared by his parents, he was laid in a manger, an animal feeding trough. Friends, the man who started Buddhism was a wealthy and powerful prince. The man who started Islam, Muhammad, was a renowned and fearsome warrior. But the man who started Christianity was born in a shed, out the back. The God of the universe so loved you and me that he entered the world very humbly. And he spent most of his life unknown and ended up being executed as a criminal on a Roman cross. But he did it on purpose and for a purpose. And in his life, those 33 years, he did not simply teach us the truth about God. He showed compassion to the lonely and the needy. He loved the poor and the outcast. He healed the sick and the broken. He raised the dead. He wept with the hurting. And yet he antagonized the religious leaders. He threatened the ruling authority, so much so that they put him to death on a cross. And God personally experienced the pain of loneliness and rejection and injustice and torture and a cruel, horrific death on a cross. A cross normally reserved for the public enemies and the dregs of the criminal justice system. And at this Christmas, if you are hurting, you need to know and understand that God understands what it means to hurt, to weep, to be suffering, to be lonely, to be grieving. Are you hurting this Christmas? There are people in Syria hurting this Christmas. There are people in Nigeria hurting this Christmas. There are people in Egypt hurting this Christmas because of terrorist bombs. There are people in Berlin suffering this Christmas because of terrorism. But when you know Christ, you know God is for you and God is with you in the midst of your suffering. God is not distant and aloof, friends. It's not the God who sits up on some cloud and just watches what happens here. We serve a God who stepped into human history and experienced far worse than we have ever experienced. He came to show us his love and to save us. We're at holiday time now, and I guess you're all looking forward to having a great holiday. And I was reading a story of a family there down by the lake one summer holiday. And they were at the boathouse, and there was a father who had two sons, a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old. And the father was working, and he allowed his 12-year-old son to look after the 3-year-old down by the water, and that's always precarious. And the 12-year-old got distracted, as 12-year-olds tend to be at times, and the 3-year-old walked away from his brother. End of the dock, he saw a little silver boat, aluminium fishing boat, tied up. And he decided he might try and get across to this aluminium boat. And he took a step forward and he fell into the water. Splash happens. 12-year-old hears it. He screams. Father comes running down, dives into the water to find his son. He goes down. It's about 6 meters deep, or 6 feet deep, I think. 6 feet, in fact, not 6 meters. And he goes under, he comes back up, he couldn't find his son, went down a second time, and on the way up, he saw his son with his arms locked in a death grip on one of the posts of the dock, 4 feet underwater. He was just holding on. They got out of the water, breathed, and when they relaxed a little bit, the adrenaline had stopped surging, the nerves had calmed down a bit. The father asked his son, said, "What on earth were you doing down there hanging onto the post so far under the water?" A little Billy, a 3-year-old, simply said, "I was just waiting for you, Dad. I was just waiting. Just waiting for you, Dad. I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come, Dad. I knew you loved me. I knew you'd come. I had nothing else, Dad. I just had to hold on. I knew you'd come." Friends, the nation of Israel had been waiting for the Messiah to come. The nation of Israel had been waiting for God to step into human history, to send the King and the Messiah who would save them and transform their world. And God did not let them down, and God does not let us down. God steps into human history in his son Jesus. Why did he come? He is God with us, but he is Jesus, God saves. He is Jesus, God saves. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save or rescue his people from their sins. Friends, the name Jesus, whenever you remember the name Jesus, remember what it means. It means God saves. The Old Testament name Joshua is the New Testament name Jesus. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation, the name of God given in the Old Testament. So the name that Jesus receives, this baby born at Christmas, was Joshua, or Jesus, God is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. I don't know about you, but I think one of the most difficult things to get across each year at Christmas is to people that they are sinners and they need a savior. In fact, most people love Christmas, and I love Christmas too. My place is beautifully set up. We have Christmas lights outside. The place is clean and tidy. The gardens have been done once a year, and everything is clean, right? You with me? And we're all ready. There's fun. There are gifts under the Christmas tree, and I've not put one underneath there, not one. My wife has done it all. My kids have done it all. God bless them. They're excellent. I love Christmas. And it's about food and family and gifts and love and rest and the holidays. I went and saw the lights at St. Mary's Cathedral again, beautiful again. There at Carols Night, people love it. They come to our Carols event just up the street, 2,500 people coming through the place, enjoying the day. We love Christmas. We love the sense of family and unity and speaking about a God who loves us and a baby. Who doesn't love a baby, right? Some of you had babies for the first time. Who doesn't love a baby? We all celebrate. We go to the hospitals. We rejoice. We give them gifts. It's all fun. 91% of respondents to a recent survey said they love religious Christmas carols being sung in public. Everyone, or most people at least, love Christmas. And yet, when you hear these words, that he will save his people from their sins, well, hold on now, sins, where did sin come into this story? I like singing and I like eating and going on jumping castles at the carols and exchanging gifts. Where did this sin thing come into it? Who brought sin into the story to spoil Christmas? God, what were you thinking? This is Christmas. Can't bring sin into the story. It messes up Christmas. I remember Stan Walker. Remember him? 2009 Australian Idol winner. He released a CD, and a few years ago, his CD was playing in a shopping centre. I was at Roseland Shopping Centre walking through and blaring over the music, and the sound system was this: Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And everyone loves that hymn. In fact, after mentioning this last night, we went home and someone heard that same song being sung on the carols by candlelight in Melbourne. We all sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know what you're saying when you say that? And I stopped in the shopping centre and I looked around. Did anyone notice that Stan Walker was singing that song in the shopping centre? A wretch is a miserable and worthless creature. A despicable or contemptible person. Now, I am happy to say I am thankful to God that he has saved Ange Gretzun as a despicable and contemptible person whose only hope of this is the forgiveness that comes through the cross. But most people don't think of themselves that way. John Newton was a former slave trader. He knew that he was lost and despicable and contemptible. It was the grace of God that saved him. It was the mercy of God that gave him a new start in life. Friends, you'll never come to God unless you realize that you were a wretch who needed saving. Call him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And Christmas reminds me that we are in rebellion toward God. And God loves us so deeply that God became like one of us. And then he sent his son to the cross for us. Friends, Romans 6:23 is this beautiful verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might get a new CD for Christmas. You might get a bike for Christmas. You might get an Xbox for Christmas, whatever you do with those things. You may get a voucher to Westfield from me, probably. It doesn't matter what it is. You'll get different gifts. But the greatest gift God offers us, it's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it would be my hope that you would experience that eternal life you would turn from your sins, put your faith in the babe that was born at Christmas, who went to the cross and was raised from the dead on the third day, and find forgiveness and eternal life. God loves you deeply, for God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love that. God loves, he gives. Whoever believes has eternal life. For me, that was at the age of 15. For some of you younger, some of you older, some of you have made that decision, but you've never made that decision. God invites you this Christmas to come to him. There was a man who was probably in his 70s or 80s. His friends prayed for him. His friends invited him to church. And one day he turned up to church to their amazement. Maybe he's a little bit like you. Maybe come to church once or twice with family and friends. But this man finally turned up to church after many invitations of family and friends. At the end of the sermon, as the preacher preached, he invited people to give their life to Jesus, to start again as Christians. And this old man walked forward in tears and he sat down at the front. The service was finished. The pastor asked everyone to go back to their seats and to head off. And he spent some time with this older man. They prayed for many years. He's lived decades of his life. And he just repented and put his faith in Christ. He found forgiveness. And he found eternal life. And he kept crying and weeping. And the pastor said, "Why are you crying? Why are you weeping? You have forgiveness now. You have a relationship with God. You have a certain destiny. You can now live with purpose and with power. Whatever life you have now, just live it for God." And he simply said, "I've wasted it. I've wasted it. All these years, I lived without meaning and without purpose. I've wasted it." And the pastor encouraged him to use the last bit of his life for the glory of God. So if you're a younger person today, let me urge you not to waste your life. Don't wait till you're 75 or 80 to become a Christian. Do all those things you want to do, thinking that they will bring you satisfaction and meaning. They won't. Come and discover God now. Find life in God now. And then enjoy God the rest of your life. Don't waste your life. And if you're older, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe in your 90s if you happen to be in your 90s here today. Live your life for the glory of God. God loves you so much and so deeply that Jesus became God with us and the one who saves us from our sins. For you only have one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I said, come, worship Christ the King. Come, receive his forgiveness. Receive the eternal life and the new power to live for him for eternity. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful message we have this Christmas. That Jesus went from the cradle to the cross to deal with our sins and our failures. To give us peace with God, forgiveness of sins, and a promise of eternal life. Thank you, God, that you love us so deeply that you became one of us so that we can spend eternity with you and live our lives with meaning and purpose right here and now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.